In Chicago for this Friday afternoon, the CME Group corn finished at $4.72 and a quarter in the lead option March. That was down 12 cents. The rest of the pit was higher. May futures at 486, up one. July at 490 and a half, up a penny and a half. And December at 487 and a quarter, up 3 1/4 cents. March of next year, 495 and a quarter, up 4 cents. March beans at $13.76, down 14 and 3 quarters for the day. May at 13.88 and a half, down 7 3/4, and July at 13.71 and 3/4, 6 1/4 lower. November beans at $11.74 and a half, down 5 1/4, and January of next year at 11.78 and a quarter, down 5 1/4 cents as well. March bean meal at 4.49, 60 cents lower. March bean oil at $42.02, that's 75 cents lower on the afternoon. The March wheat at $6.90 and a quarter for the soft red, again up 11 1/4, and July at $6.90 and a quarter, up 12 and a quarter cents for the day. Live cattle futures at the CME and the April contract at 145.25, up $1.62 and a half on the Friday afternoon. June futures at 137.85 for 100 pounds, 97 and a half cents higher. And March feeder cattle at $174.60, up 62 and a half cents. April futures at 177.22 and a half, up $1.30. Let's turn our attention now to what happened in the marketplace, in the futures and commodities. On the phone line with us is Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it was an ugly week for the soybeans. They were down in the lead, 81 and a half cents.
Yeah, and you know, we had, I think, after the report, not getting the bull fed in that report when it comes to either the South American crop being reduced as much as the trade was thinking, or especially the U.S. supply demand for 13-14 not being cut as much as I think a lot of us were expecting it to be. I think that not being fed as far as the bull helped put the weather and the wheat market in the driver's seat, and the Ukraine obviously being a major feature for the wheat market especially. So beans did, I think, take the short side of the spreads pretty much the rest of the week after the report came out.
We'll take a look at that South American crop, speaking of that, during our Commodity Week program. You can find that online at willag.org. After about 4 o'clock this afternoon, you'll be one of our panelists during the program. It airs immediately following this program on our home radio station. That's AM 580. But our guest for the day will be Michael Cordonier, and he just arrived back from South America, I think Wednesday of last week when I talked to him this morning. I'm kind of looking forward to that. What kinds of questions are you hoping to ask him?
I think the biggest thing on my mind at this point, Todd, is have we found a low in terms of Brazil bean production at this stage of the game? It seems like as the week went on and Brazil's harvest progress reached that 50% mark, I started getting a sense from my contacts that we were probably finding that 85 million ton level as the bottom of the barrel, and the top of the barrel kind of being at that 88.5 number that the USDA put out on Monday's report. And so I'd kind of like to know from him if he feels like that if the weather has now done enough damage but is not going to do too much more at this point, and we can start using a hard number in the trade at this stage of the game.
I'm sure he'll be able to give us some information on that. November soybeans this week at $11.74.5, finished 12 3/4 lower. That was, by comparison to the old crop, a pretty good week.
Yeah, it really was. You saw the bear spread come in, and I think this goes back to the report and the bull not being fed in the old crop. You did see the cancellations by China of both Brazilian beans and our beans. We had 10 cargoes confirmed, but some in Latin America are talking about 30 more cargoes that are trying to be canceled out of Brazil, or at least deferred. That, I don't think, has been traded in the market price at this point in time. But you did see those features, I think, help support the November crop. I think you also probably saw the November supported by the new crop corn. And I was interested to see that the November bean-December corn ratio went down to 2.41. That's the lowest level it's been since mid-January. And I think we did see the November beans give way to the December corn, probably because of the weather, probably because of the Ukrainian situation. But the trade, as it has been for the last year and a half, very sneaky about it, doing it through the spread price action.
So it'll be interesting to watch that spread as it continues to widen or narrow, one of the two, over time, and we head towards the end of March and get an idea of what producers are thinking about planting. Are we still of a mind that there will be more bean acres?
I think there will be more bean acres in relation to last year, but I got to think that the trade has pretty much dialed that in. I'm wondering whether the trade's more uncertain about corn acres, not just because the low 92 million acre number that we got from the Ag Outlook from USDA, but also because of this recent rally, whether that's going to put some more corn acres down, and the trade's going to have to contend with that. But as I said this week, it was really more about the weather and the field work delays and the talk about that starting to work into the new crop December corn price. And also, I think we started to pick up some sensitivity and support, I should say, from the wheat market when it came to the corn. And I think one thing that really kicked in the wheat market this week that we probably haven't talked about much at all is the oats. We saw a massive run-up in the oats. We closed $1.10 higher in March oats on the Canadian problems. That was a record high close. But the May oats closed lower for the week. But I was getting pretty strong sense from colleagues in Chicago that the March wheat, especially in Chicago, was picking up a lot of support from the oat market in the March contract as well. So we probably have to watch those oat markets a little closer than we're used to.
Well, we have the oat market, and it's got a nice gap higher in it. And then when you look at the wheat, it was not only the March wheat, at least for the day, that was higher. It was up, what, 11 and a quarter, but all the rest of the contracts managed to trade right there along with it.
Yeah, and I would argue at this point, in the spread trade at least, the hard red wheat didn't really lead this week's market up. So I don't think there's a lot of weather premium in the spread trade between the hard red and the soft red. I would think that maybe the soft red was helped mostly by Ukraine and mostly by the oats, and that maybe the hard red wheat could come in and provide some support in the coming weeks here if we stay warm and dry out in this part of the country like we have been. And it seems like the forecasts are calling for warm and dry all the way through the end of March. So we will definitely be, in west of me, we'll be through dormancy, and we'll have a good sense of the winter kill damage probably within a couple weeks.
And it appears that in the corn pit, somebody must have gotten caught because we have just the 12 cents lower in the March, but everything else was higher for the day.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I think the March corn really diverged itself from the rest of the trade. One of the things that I did note in the corn from producers this week on the phone was when we talked about pricing some new crop corn, many of them, both sides of the Mississippi, have been calling in and saying, I'm with you on doing more paper positions, not because of the Ukraine and the weather, but because my basis is just not moving up. I think it's safe to say in a large percentage of the Corn Belt, we really don't have, as far as new crop corn, any real Ukrainian premium or any kind of weather premium built in at this point when it comes to the cash market, because the basis is way, way too wide. Some talking about today, as a matter of fact, talking about 40 to 45 under December futures, and that's extremely wide given that we're now back below a 1.5 billion bushel carryover.
I'll talk to you again in a few moments.
Sounds great, sir.
All right, thanks so much. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. We'll be one of our panelists for Commodity Week this afternoon.